stop cussing.
Just away from the microphone.
That's right. I want to talk to you at some point about screening your film.
So yeah, call the meeting to order at 3:05. And so yeah, first thing is to approve the agenda. Does everyone have one? Can we get a motion to approve the agenda?
I move that we approve the agenda as printed.
And a second. All right, that was approved. And then we're going to chance to look at the minutes from last time. Everything looked good.
Looks
as we remember
me.
It.
Yeah.
Cool. So a motion to approve the minutes from last time.
I move to approve.
All right. Can we get a second?
Second.
All right. That was also approved. 2 for 2. Pretty good. Awesome. So new business. Christine awesomely was able to get Duke Energy representatives interested in attending one of these meetings.
Oh, and cool.
And so they will be at the April meeting.
Okay.
So we wanted to just spend some time thinking about the best use of our time with them when they're here in April. I know last time when y'all had that open discussion when I wasn't here about what folks are interested in. I know, John, you mentioned wanting to work with Duke Energy about converting the Long Shoals plant. So talk about that. I didn't get to mention information about PAYS, the Pay-As-You-Save programs, but I'd love to talk to them about that, which, you know, is down here in the old business. But, yeah, I don't know if we wanted to just spend a couple of minutes talking about how we should use that time when they're here.
Would they get involved if we, with solar panels? How would Duke get involved with that? I mean,
I think they get involved with panels.
No, maybe not installation, but is there a state law that requires them to take the energy, the electricity?
They're the only energy provider in the state, I believe. So.
So you, if you have them, you have to use it yourself, or.
I think there was recently a change in that, but I don't.
They tried to. I don't know if they did.
And that's something we could certainly ask them. Right. You know, what is their policy at this point for solar energy?
They would know the status of it.
For buying back, selling
mm-hmm.
back to the utility.
Because, the thing I mentioned about solar panels was put them at the landfill,
mm-hmm.
closed at the landfill.
And I know they're currently working with Buncombe County to put solar panels on the closed landfill in Woodfin.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing with that, though, is I do need to talk to the solid waste manager out there because their old landfill is a lot more flatter than ours. We have a pretty steep elevation, so I'm curious if that will affect the solar panels. But
I visited one in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and it's a really big one. And it's a mountain, but they still have them.
Yeah.
And they put them on the south slope, facing
mm-hmm.
the sun. So.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. I mean, that's an advantage. But.
So we could add that solar panels at the landfill?
Yeah. And actually, if Duke converts Long Shoals strictly to gas, what are they going to do with all the area where the coal has been? That's another area that they could put probably a pretty good size solar panel farm in.
Are they talking about putting the coal ash? There was something, I read something about they were talking about a coal ash landfill, and I don't know where they were planning on putting that, but.
Somewhere in Asheville, I thought.
I mean, wasn't it like right next to their plant? So would it potentially just go where the coal was? I don't know.
Plant at this point.
Yeah.
I think they're proposing things, but
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's something about the one at Cliffside down there.
We'll have to have public hearings and things like that for that.
But right now, there's a lot of coal ash hauled out of Duke's plants in North Carolina that go to North Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see those trucks on the interstate. I don't know if you can recognize one, but they're hundreds.
So you think they might be making the landfill then for other Duke plants to send it here? Is that?
I haven't heard that.
Okay.
Is it just for what they were? Okay.
That's a question we could ask them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
Like, where are they putting the coal ash?
Yeah. From the currently closing plant. Yeah. 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 There's never a good answer with coal ash. Yeah. But I don't know.
It's like nuclear energy.
Yeah. Cool. Chris, we're just trying to figure out that Duke Energy representatives are going to be here in April. So brainstorming how we want to structure that session with them and types of stuff we want to bring up.
Attack.
Attack.
No.
I went to one of the meetings when they were talking about doing the big power line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
In Blue Ridge, in the auditorium, it was quite a
shift. Yeah. I was just moving here, and that was like, it was my first topic to keep track of. That was amazing.
I don't know if this is jumping, but did you guys all get the pay as you save stuff last time? That's something I'd love to bring up with them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can spend a couple minutes talking about that now.
Yeah.
And then, I tried to find the recording from the last meeting because Christine had said that there were some questions about it. I couldn't find the recording.
Okay.
So I don't know what the questions were, but
we're
I did try to do research.
We're a little confused and we're hoping for some clarity.
Cool. About just the general structure of it?
Yeah. I think I did a great job explaining.
Oh, yeah. No worries. It's kind of there's like a 90-second video they made for that very reason, which I should have brought or I can send. But essentially, the utility partners with a low-interest lender to get capital available to go and fix up homes and make them more energy efficient. And then as the customer starts to save money from those energy efficiencies, part of the savings pays back that loan. And part of the savings they get to keep in their pocket. So the whole idea is to energy efficiency upgrades and getting solar panels are usually only for folks who have the capital up front. And this is a way to get one of these energy efficiency programs into more low and moderate income households as well as renters because it's tied to location, it's not tied to customer. So if you are renting and you do this program, the next tenant would just be the next person paying that rate. And the cool thing about this program is the bill is already going to be a lot lower than their regular bill. And I think it's usually like less than half of the savings are applied to the loan. So they still get to keep, they have like immediate cash flow as a lender or as a homeowner or renter. And what I also love about it is it's like not charity. It's a low interest loan. So even people who provide the upfront capital get that all back with some interest. But yet it's able to be applied pretty everywhere. And what's cool is the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality last summer put out a study that they called, I think, their Roadmap to Energy Efficiency. And they want to explore PAYS programs, but they want more data and they want more pilot programs. And so I would love it if Henderson County could be one of their pilot programs as they want to get more data to see how they can apply it statewide.
So is it being implemented anywhere else?
Yeah, in several states. Okay. And it's places, too, like eastern Kentucky and Arkansas. It's not like, places you might think, right? Okay. Because I think it's really something that, is the, cheesy tagline that they have, which I'll repeat here for fun, is it's a win-win-win. Because, literally there's no losers here. The lenders even get their capital back. Utilities are already one of the entities with the lowest low collectibles or uncollectibles, and this program has even lower uncollectibles than a regular utility would experience because their bills are already lower, so their ability to pay their bill is already higher than an average customer. So there's just a little risk. It's just that the DEQ, they put out the study with Duke and the Nicholas Institute, and essentially they just want data. They want to make sure that these programs work, that there is low risk. The group that created this program, the Energy Efficiency Institute, I just spoke with someone on the phone from there. They're super approachable. They want this to go everywhere. I brought up all the concerns that I read about in their study about, not having this debt and getting the debt back. And, they answered every single question I had. And there also have been other states where they started with a pilot program and then were able to expand. Yeah. So I would like to pitch to Duke that Henderson County, how could maybe we be one of those pilot communities in the state so that they can get more data to see, okay, does this work here or does it not work? If it does work, how can we expand it?
Do you have an outline to how to run a pilot program so when we come, we can present that to them? Like,
yeah. Okay. And that's kind of what I wanted to...
They probably already done it, didn't they?
Well, yeah, there's a few states where they have pilot programs happening now. And, in fact, Roanoke Electric Co-op in North Carolina is doing this. So we kind of have one pilot in North Carolina. But I think they just want more data. And that's a EMC electric member co-op, whereas, you know, Duke is structured differently. So I think having a somewhere like Henderson County could help them out. But, yeah, does the program make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Do you pay, like, a percentage back?
Yeah, each month.
So, like, if you save, because it's hard to estimate exactly how much you're going to save. So it's a set amount. So you save 20, then you pay 10 and keep 10. Or you save 5 and you pay 250 and keep 250.
Exactly. Right, it's structured to where the customer is benefiting immediately. So.
But they can never, like, be in the hole for it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. what was I gonna say? I forgot what I was gonna say.
It sounds like it's geared mostly towards low income rural housing, which is why it's in eastern Kentucky and places like that.
Arkansas. Yeah.
So I wonder if that would be something to talk to like another department or agency that would have a better handle on that housing.
Like where? What parts of the area?
Yeah,
like a target.
Somewhere like
the housing authority.
Kenmure is not going to really benefit.
No.
Right.
It's not really designed for that. Or Laurel Park.
Yeah.
Some of Laurel Park, but not all of Laurel Park. Most of Laurel Park. You know, I mean, places like that. So, yeah, like the housing authority or even
Housing
Assistant Corporation. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I know we have other co-ops in the state, like Broad River Electric that's out in Lester and Marshall. Do you think they have looked at it?
I'm not sure.
It would be cool if we could tell them that some of their competitors are.
Right.
Of course, I guess they're not really competitors because these are dedicated areas, but it would be cool to know if any of the other co-ops have done that in the state.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for April, I would like to just bring up the idea and see, like, you know, what is Duke Energy's current thought? This was August 2019 was their last report. So, like, what progress have they made since then?
Mm-hmm.
Have they had any new pilot programs? I would just imagine if I was Duke Energy and I was trying to pick a pilot program location, I would want it to be in a place where folks might be enthusiastic about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's what they're looking for, how can we share that enthusiasm?
Right.
We can do that.
Yeah.
We'll bring up.
But I can find out a lot more. I literally just called them on the phone today. The two people who run this EEI, and they were super excited to talk about it. And
where are they headquartered?
In Vermont.
Vermont.
Yeah. But their program is in all different parts of the country. And thanks for humoring me.
I think it's a great idea. I'd like to hear what the pitfalls they run into.
Yeah.
And then maybe you could circumvent some of those.
So in the report, sorry, I'm looking at my phone because that's where I took notes. Their concerns were the debt burden that would be carried by Duke, and then the setup costs, and then they need clarifying authority. You don't need legislative action to allow these on-bill tariffs, because utilities have tariff authority, but they do want some sort of clarifying authority from either the Public Utilities Commission or someone who has that power. And I went through each of those with the Energy Efficiency Institute, and I was like, are these new concerns? What do you normally tell utilities when they have these concerns? And they said every single utility they work with have those exact same concerns starting off.
I'd be kind of curious to what the concerns of the customers are, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure if I was a customer, my concerns would be what happens if the repairs stop working and my bill is no longer saving money. You know, are you starting to cut into my, you know, my regular bill? And I think you have to build in some of that stuff and some of those protections.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good question.
I mean, that's, to me, that's what sells the program, too. You have people behind it.
Right.
Yeah, so if they're selling your house.
Get past their concerns.
Right. Yeah.
How much does each repair usually cost?
They estimate it at $7,500.
per house?
Yeah.
But these are all sorts of energy.
Right. Some are less, some are more.
So what's the approximate payback? How many years are you?
12-year loan.
It's 12 years?
That's pretty long. And that's why they can do it.
That's why I think, because the payments are so little each month.
Right.
That it takes.
But
and
it's
I'm sure.
It's not attached to you personally, it's attached to the house.
The location, yeah.
So it's not like debt that you're saddled with indefinitely.
Right.
So in your statements, would you see a detailed, this is what you would have been using, this is what you're using now?
That's like, actually a really good question.
I mean,
I wondered how they sort
how
that out.
How much have you paid this month and then year to date? Because I'd be like,
oh,
how long is this
now.
Year's loan going to
be? They could set up a schedule. I mean, it almost looks like a mortgage payout thing.
Yeah,
they must get some kind of data going in with some of the contractors that would do the actual repairs and.
Well, they'd have to in order to determine what your payment amount was going
would
to
be.
Pay it back.
Right.
You know, and they wouldn't recommend doing certain things unless there was a payout. So,
right.
I mean, it's.
Yeah. But no, that's good. That's good questions to sort out.
But any, Duke's going to have historical usage on any house.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
So it wouldn't be hard to go and say your average usage is $200 a month, and that's. And then your next bill is all of a sudden $180, $175.
Yeah.
They
and
actually
sure
send out emails, your report each month. I get your usage report. I mean, I don't know if it would be in there, but I'm sure they would have templates
that
other utility companies have used, so you could look at the template and say, this is what we're talking about.
And they've worked with other, I guess, IOU, right, investor-owned utilities like Duke Energy and other places. So,
because
you would think electric co-ops are the natural people who might be interested in this, but they've successfully done programs with other Duke-like entities. So, yeah. I think, if, you know, between now and April, if questions pop up, if y'all would shoot me those questions, anything that you think Duke would ask, so that if Duke has questions in April, we can respond before then.
Okay.
Sorry to jump the gun to Section 4, Kristen.
You're fine. Because I'm thinking they might appreciate some of these questions ahead of time.
Oh, that's a good point.
So maybe we could... try and give them at least 2 weeks notice for the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So they don't feel surprised, they're bombarded.
Right.
Part of your notes will allow that. So you're just going to take it from the notes and send it to them?
Yeah, I'll probably wait till those that are not here to maybe chime in.
Oh, yeah, give us some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send it to us in draft form.
And we can incorporate Grady's questions and
mm-hmm.
some of the questions around Longshoal. Are there any other topics we want to bring up for Duke besides what we talked about?
I'd like to ask them about the smart meters and just see, because, you know, they were going to let you opt out and then, you know, blah, 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 and I don't know. And this is probably not just relative to this committee, but I would like to ask them about that.
Can you share more about what that is?
About the smart meters?
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Well, you know, they produce a lot of radiation, and people have, I would rather not have one on the side of my house. And they were going to let you opt out at some point, then you have to pay $11 a month if you opt out, because they'll have to come read it again. And so I just wanted an update on where the program was with smart meters. So.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know exactly what kind of radiation.
Like your cell phone radiation.
Well, they're all EMFs. I mean, we're just, you know, inundated with that everywhere. And this is right outside my grandchildren's bedroom is where this thing is now. So, when I have a choice, you know, I don't really have a choice. I don't keep it in airplane mode all the time. But in a situation like that, you know, I'd like to have an option.
Well, I know, like, with the cell phone, you can get those. There's like a film, and it blocks it, and it's only if it's within five. Oh my gosh,
millimeters. Sounds like it'd be millimeters.
Yeah, of like your skin that you're actually like right now. Since I'm touching it, I have it. But if it's here, like you're not gonna get anything.
You have a lined pocket. That would be good.
Well, they've got the lining. You can even get it on the cover. Like they have a clear lining on front and then one for the back too.
They sell build it on Amazon. Into a case. Seems like pretty easy.
Cool. Anything else for Duke? I think it's a cool idea to send them an agenda, like a rough outline of what we want to talk about. So I guess if anything comes up between now and then, we can just add it.
Well, and also for them to understand this is a dialogue.
Yeah.
It's not like we're confronting them or, you know, they've got to come with a report. Or we're just starting the discussion on what we can do in Henderson County, how we can be proactive. Or,
So almost like we want Duke to come, you know, once a year, maybe every 2 years, you know, just like update back and forth.
Right. And our new rep, Matt Russo, he's working with me, and he's been really great, and he helped save the county $20,000.
Wow,
so
he found good.
Yeah, so I'm going to work with him to do, like, an account overview every 6 months. He does it annually, but I was like, can we start doing this every 6 months? So, so he's really good, and he'll bring Craig DeBrew, so he does a lot of, like, public speaking and representation for Duke Energy, too.
And that's a good segment for the sustainability program, too, to have that one on. So that's really good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Well, then, moving on to old business. I guess the first item, the actions or updates from the December meeting, was just to make sure for the open discussion from last time, if there was any other follow-up or follow-through that was needed. Some of the specifics I know, like the awards, we're going to talk about later, but was there anything else just generally that came out of the new business? Most of this looks like it's actually already reflected in the rest of the agenda, like field trips and the awards program.
And I apologize, it's so faint, but I didn't want to redo all these copies.
Yeah,
so
no worries.
Y'all don't mind. Save paper.
I'm going to just say, I think with the Duke meeting coming up in April and some of the other stuff, I think everything's pretty much covered. Does that seem right to everybody? I missed the discussion, but it sounded like a good one. So, cool. All right, cool. Moving on, pays we've already discussed. So, Chris, do you have any updates on the LID statement?
I got an email from Bill Lapsley today. He said that it hasn't gone anywhere. It's low on his priority list.
No worries. Can you remind?
Hopefully, he will try to do something in the next couple weeks.
Cool. Can you remind me about the last step you met with Bill?
Yeah, so I met with Bill, and basically he said, I'll take it from here.
Cool.
And his plan at that time was to, which was about a month ago, was to talk to Rebecca McCall first and then try to talk to the other commissioners so that if they put it on the consent agenda, nobody was surprised and it didn't get stalled because they didn't know what it was.
Right.
Or
because consent agenda items, if I'm correct, those are items that people are pretty much just going to check the box.
I think, if I understand it right, that's consent agenda item is basically something where everybody's going to approve it. But it doesn't necessarily have to. They don't have to. They can still decide that they are going to discuss it and not approve it. So just because it's on the consent agenda, it's items that don't really need a lot of aren't supposed to need a lot of discussion.
Right. Cool.
It doesn't mean it can't happen.
The idea is Bill and Rebecca will do the work up front, ideally.
Yeah, the idea is they would do all that work up front to talk to the other commissioners so that when it was listed on the consent agenda, everybody knew what it was, and they were like, check.
Cool.
You know, that was the idea.
Okay.
And he was wholeheartedly in favor of it. So.
Okay, cool. I guess with all the holidays and whatnot, not a lot of time has passed, really, maybe. Optimistically speaking.
Yeah, and one of the meetings in January was a budget retreat.
Okay.
So there's only been two meetings since the holiday, even though there's been three.
Cool.
I think he said early February, but I remember thinking when he said it that seemed kind of optimistic, but he was the commissioner, so I was like,
Did Rebecca mention if they've met yet? I wonder.
She's not. I haven't asked her. So I would assume probably not. It doesn't sound like he's done anything on it yet.
All right. No worries. Yeah. I guess let us know if there's anything the committee could do.
Yeah, I'll give it a couple weeks, and then I'll ask him again just to try and
Awesome. Any questions around that? Anybody else? Cool. The awards seem like from last time the notes were around just finalizing the draft. And I can't remember who was interested in finalizing that. But I was going to propose that we meet up and do that outside of this meeting and just knock it out.
Yeah, I think Lucy and Steven agree.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that sound good to you, Lucy?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do we need, is it okay if three members meet outside of this meeting? There's weird rules around that.
Yeah.
You have to, like.
It's like if you have a, within three, then you have to have, like, the rules and.
Yeah.
Do you have nine members?
No.
Nine.
You
have nine. Yeah. Four, five. I think five's quorum. I think five is the quorum.
So.
So I think you've got to watch about, too, is emails. Because if you do a lot of email correspondence as a group, and as a group, you're, quote, having a meeting that the public can't be part of.
Oh.
We do that a
always
lot.
Always keep that in mind. I mean, it's okay on certain things, like a reminder of a thing going out, you know, or a meeting, but if you're like, hey, does this look good, and you're kind of actually having a discussion, and it's not just relaying information, we've had other committees before that got got into that, you know, because then you come to the meeting, you've already talked about it.
Right. I see. What about votes, where we're voting on stuff that we discussed at a prior meeting?
I don't know if your bylaws are different. Most of ours are pretty certain. So if you've got nine members, five makes a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
You only need five to start the meeting. One of those leaves, you can still hold the meeting. You had five to hold the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's typically just majority vote.
But,
or vote. But if you're voting online?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sometimes we do that for efficiency.
It's probably okay if you're not discussing and making changes, you know, during it, and it's just a straight vote, and you reflect that in the minutes that it was sent out, and majority of members voted to pass it. Probably okay.
Cool.
I think the way that we've done it is, like, here's the final copy of this, you know, if anybody has any.
Yeah, and for your committee, you're not doing, like, some of the applications that involves, like, a due process thing, so you're probably in a little bit safer of an area.
Okay, cool. Well, then, yeah, I'll email you and Stephen separately. We can just...
Time.
Yeah, and just... And then we'll send that over email to discuss at the next in-person meeting for the public. Kristen, do you have updates on the Solid Waste Master Plan?
So I was... we're expecting a draft from McGill any day now.
Cool.
We're supposed to get it yesterday. And some of that has... they've done some analysis. We've had staff input. We've been working on it. But I just wanted to highlight again the February 18th at 4 p.m. in the community room. We will be presenting that to the EAC, Mountain True, and the city's Environmental Sustainability Board. So I hope that y'all come and ask questions and provide your input, so that then we can take the final draft to the commissioners, I think, in March or April. It's probably March or April.
Is that an open to the public meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a committee, are we going to make any presentation about the master plan?
Well, staff will be presenting it to y'all.
Yeah.
So okay. We'll be presenting, yeah.
Okay.
I guess my question was, are they gonna advertise it as an open thing, or is it gonna be like this where we have the meeting and anybody can come, but there's not flyers all over the county about it? So
yeah,
I don't care. I'm just curious.
I need to ask Marcus, but maybe we'll have public comment later. But I'll ask. Let me make a note.
I think the city of Hendersonville is having this open house or something, you know, and it's been like on their webpage, and I've got it's on Facebook and things like that, and I don't know if maybe.
Yeah, that's like the open, it's like the open meeting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fletcher's having one too.
So is it the community room where the commissioners meet? Is that the community room?
It's the overflow room next door.
Oh. But still on the second floor?
Yes.
Okay.
Of the historic warehouse, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Had to use it on Monday.
There were that many people. They were looking through the windows across. Well, that's the way it was on the Greenway.
Remind me after the meeting, I'll tell you a funny story about the old courthouse. It's appropriate. I just want to talk. It's
inappropriate. Well, cool.
But that's a great question, Chris. This is my first time going through this process, so it's a good question.
Yeah, it's really just about whether they advertise it or not. Obviously, any county committee meetings are open to the public, except for some closed.
Oh, yeah. So it's on the website.
And so
that's
a draft.
That's different than putting it up on the website and saying.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if, since this is a draft version, if after we receive y'all's comments, then we'll put those into consideration and then present maybe the final version to open comment, maybe?
Yeah, to the public, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm excited and excited to see what I haven't seen the results quite yet. It's only really been Marcus, so I'm excited to see what it says.
Cool.
Yeah. But, it's February 18th, and I can put that in the summary and send that out.
Cool. Thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Cool. Moving on to field trips. Everyone's favorite topic. I guess that came up during the discussion, visiting different places last time.
Yeah, I think that
time.
Was Michael's suggestion.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Could be fun.
And I was thinking, of course, we could do solid waste and show where the potential compost pilot is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it is great to do it after hours. So I don't know if y'all would be open to a 4:30 field trip or 4 field trip. And I'm wondering if we should schedule these. I'm assuming outside of these meetings because we need to get business. Because y'all need to get business done. And maybe see when would be a good time to schedule the first four at solid waste, and then maybe a tentative time for the wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah.
And I'm actually interested in the wastewater treatment plant personally because way down the road, maybe we could talk to them about composting their biosolids. So right now they are landfilling the biosolids and there is a companies do compost those. We have to have more than type 3 permit. We'd have to have a type 4. So, but that's way down the road. But
back in the day, they used to do that. They actually took the solid cake and they treated it and they sold it as to like you could go and buy it for fertilizer. But the problem is because it's human waste, the level of treatment that it requires to make it available for utilization is like crazy. Like they were spending tremendous amounts of money on lime and all kinds of stuff. There may be another alternative for it. I'm just saying that I used to do tours out there, which I've been there like 50 times with my classes at Blue Ridge. So they used to do that. They tried that for a while. That's always the problem is once you jump from like food scraps to human waste, that becomes a whole different ballgame. I'd love to see it happen because it drives me nuts that they put it in the landfill, but that's the big issue with it.
Yeah, I didn't know if an anaerobic digester, like maybe since it's a closed system, I don't know, but again, just some, like you said, to prevent it from being landfilled.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is not really composting it because, I mean, it'll do that. Fine. I think the problem is, what do you do with it after you compost it?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything still?
That's the crux.
I mean, there should.
You got to treat it more.
There should
make
be.
Sure there's no.
Basically,
pathogens left.
Basically, you have to disinfect it.
Yeah.
Is what you're doing.
At what temperature do things get disinfected?
Because
like, what does the landfill get to? Or not the landfill, but the composter.
131 degrees for at least 3 days, and that is like the significant pathogen reduction. Mm-hmm. I will check out North Carolina compost rules, which they did release new rules in October. I don't know if I mentioned that, but they did make it easier for people to start composting.
Hmm.
Now, on the plus side, that the solid, the cake, they call it cake, that they get out of there, grows really good tomatoes out of it.
Well,
so they those guys go over there in the summertime and like pick tomatoes off the, because the seeds will be in there.
But other communities surely have looked at this.
Yeah. There are multiple, like, businesses that specialize in biosolid composting, and also composting grease traps.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy to me, but you can do it.
Atlanta burns their biosolids.
I think that's what MSD does in Asheville.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have an incinerator.
Do we want to go ahead and establish a date for this?
I guess what I want to ask y'all. Sure. What sounds good to y'all?
We're going to do it in the afternoon, maybe a little bit later in the season so we have more daylight.
Because
I think to do a good job, we need at least a couple hours there.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay.
I guess when is daylight savings? That's around
next month.
Huh.
Yay!
Thank
goodness.
Seriously.
So April, we should have some decent sunlight, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we could say April?
Yeah.
April for solid waste.
Yeah, that's a...
And,
generally, that's a tough month for me.
If we're going to have meetings bi-monthly, could we do them in the nine-month meeting, too?
Yeah.
Maybe easier to schedule.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good
idea. So maybe late March.
Oh, I see, before the next April.
Late March or May?
Yeah.
And is there a time, is there a certain day of the week that works better for everybody that's here? Or is there anybody who's like, I cannot do Mondays, I can't do Tuesdays?
We're doing Thursdays. I mean, what about Thursday?
Yeah, actually, Thursday's fine.
Yeah, okay.
I'm already used to Thursdays.
Okay,
so.
Thursdays.
All right, so the 26th maybe, or?
Of March?
Yeah. And there's plenty of daylight by then. I mean, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. When's daylight savings going?
Mid-March, let's see.
And I'll be at the CRA conference on the 26th.
Okay, so that won't work.
But maybe the week before the 19th?
Sure.
March 19th, tentatively?
This is to...
Daylight savings is the 8th.
Oh, cool. Of April or March?
The waste treatment plant?
Solid waste. Because that's easy, because I can get that scheduled whenever.
So... Yeah. 4:30, would we just meet there? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we could meet...
March 19th.
At the convenience center first.
Okay.
And then, because from 4 to 4:30, haulers are coming and finishing up. So the general public have access to the transfer station until 4, and then haulers can come till 4:30. And so we'll start the convenience center, and by the time we wrap that up, then it'll be safe for us to...
So we could do 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go to Asheville, too?
No. We'll just go to...
Well, we could do that another time, maybe.
Yeah.
The recycling center.
Oh, the MRF. Yes. We should go to...
Well, we'll do another
American.
Time.
I'll add that. The material. Have you all been to Danny's Dumpsters? He is a large-scale composter in Asheville. Could do that, too.
We'll probably plan one a month.
Yeah, that's like 4 right there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, check.
And we take our material currently to American Recycling, but curbside management, they have an observation room, so I might be tempted to schedule it there since... You can actually kind of get the bird's eye view of the facility.
Did we say 4 or 4:30 for the March 19th?
Let's just do 4. I think that might be good. Yeah. After I started thinking about it, we could get going on the convenience center.
That's Thursday, right? Okay.
And you'll send that out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Next thing is the Deeks Grant update.
Yes, we bidded out the compost pilot to see who would want to bid on it. And the lowest bidder was ACT Advanced Compost Technologies, and they designed NC State's compost facility, Warren Wilson, and I think App State. So they have trenched concrete floors, so it's proprietary information, but where the compost will be, it'll be sitting on top of a concrete floor with trenched, and in the trenches are pipes. And the pipes are connected to a blower that forces air through the compost bin. And we're going to try it. Some of their piles have bays. We're just going to try it open floor. So very, you know, less expensive. We don't have to pay for those walls. And we need an extra building anyway. And so if the compost facility does not work out, we'll still have that building. And it'll be a barn with clothes just on one side. And the cool thing about that barn is we did reclaim that wood from a previous, like, horse barn on the property.
Oh, good.
So Marcus realized that it was probably about the same amount of money to either pay for it brand new or just reclaim that material. And so I'm glad that we could reclaim these trusses. And we had to pay for some other stuff, but for the most part, those trusses will be reclaimed. But I am trying to spend their money in 3 weeks so that we can apply for next year's funding, which is $40,000 on for food waste projects. So Deeks, they have priority projects each year, and if they're non-priority projects, you only do 20, but if they're priority, you can do 40. So next year we'll do food waste, $40,000. And so I'm really trying to purchase the lumber for the barn so we can spend the money and apply for the grant. But I've been, you know, Deeks is really easy to talk to, so I think we'll hopefully make that happen.
Yay, Christine. Yeah. Keep going after it. This is good.
Yes, and it's good that we're under that grant, you know, because we need to finish it by June. So hopefully we'll be composting by May.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What are your ideas for the next round?
I would love to purchase a mixer. So those things are really expensive, but we'll see how much. I don't know if they're $60,000 or $100,000, but it's this large mixer where you can put your greens and your yard waste and your food together, mix it, and get a really good product.
Simple, yeah.
Because it's easier to add moisture in the front end, and it's harder to, like, change that pile up after it's been composting. Right. Like, it's really important, what I've learned, to always start with a really good mixture, and then it'll just do its thing.
Yeah.
Will the grant pay for maintenance of a mixer or whatever?
I think it might have to be an actual product, like materials.
Okay.
Like, I don't think it covers staff time or... but maybe. And what are you talking about? Like, maybe an old one or...
No. Yeah. Just the
operating
any kind
expenses.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's going to... I mean, this is a machine. It can break down or over time, you know, what's going on there. And the county, what?
Maintenance.
She wants to know how much your pet mixer is going to cost the rest of the office.
Well, I think grants are wonderful, and we buy these pieces of equipment, and then, you know, 5 years out, it's not in the city, I mean, the county budget for repair for something like this or whatever. But, and I don't even know that that's even available in a grant like this.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, how has that worked in the past when you're, you know, opening a new composting facility, because that's going to obviously require staff time and maintenance. But how do the budgets just start to grow to reflect new investments like that?
Yeah, and, you know, we're working on the budget now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we just long-term planning as well as a solid waste plan. And I'm pretty sure we have, like, a maintenance plan. So we know kind of what equipment we think we'll need to replace each year, or replacement plan or something. So,
cool.
And surely it'll be insured.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For at least maybe 5 years.
Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So And I do want to try and bring, I've been a part of the WNC Food Waste Solutions, and they were like, Christine, we're calling it WNC because of you, so we need to have an event in Hendersonville. So I will keep y'all posted and try and get the Food Waste Solutions group down here.
Cool.
So then maybe y'all could come.
Nice.
I'll be glad to help with that any way I can.
Cool.
Is everything at Dana still going great?
Yes, I went there Monday, and they're still doing about 3 to 4 trash bags a lunch and about 4,500 pounds a month.
Wow.
So that's
awesome.
A lot. There was some increased contamination, but I'm going to make the teachers just like a one-sided like reminder page that they can show their students in the classroom. And this was a good reminder that as we add schools, I really need to communicate, be a really good communicator on the front end that I want to offer doing education because I personally love education, environmental ed. But if we have like 10 schools, I can't be racing around going to every single school.
Right.
So if Henderson County is sponsoring this, then the teachers also need to take ownership and take ownership of the education.
I'm wondering if there's like a lesson plan template that we could download that could be given to all the teachers that they could incorporate it in whatever their curriculum is.
The trick is to find the teacher in the school that's their pet project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've done a little bit of that with stormwater stuff. I mean,
there's
always that one that thinks it's really cool and they want to get behind it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely want to designate a compost champion at each school.
Sure. Within the school system.
But it'd be nice to give them the tools.
Yeah.
You know, they could say, you can pass this out. This could be this
been
is a lesson plan that they can incorporate in whatever. Like during, in April, Earth Day, maybe that's something that could be included in their curriculum.
No, let me write that down because I do like that. Because there is. Do the rot thing. It's a free curriculum. So I need to pass that along. And maybe create like a teacher packet.
Yeah.
You know, with
that's
lesson
great,
plans,
great
you know,
specific.
Things that they can remind the students
mm-hmm.
with. But let me write that down.
And then if you find interested teachers, like a sort of more of a train the trainers thing, like a one time training for you, and then they can go and do their thing.
Yeah, I like that too.
And maybe as committee members, we could be trained how to do some of this, and we could be your surrogate in some of these schools.
That sounds like a good use of us.
I live next to Marlo.
You got Marlo. I got Atkinson. I'm right there in Atkinson.
Well, maybe to clarify, what schools are we going to expand to?
So the Henderson County Public Schools, they are interested in Apple Valley Middle and North Henderson. I'm not going to lie, it terrifies me, but middle schoolers and high schoolers, but just because elementary, they're so excited. But I do think that is great that we can pilot a middle school and a high school. Therefore, we'll have all three under our belts as a pilot. And then the North Henderson Apple Valley, they're actually connected, different schools, but they share the same cafeteria.
Hmm.
So it might be easier to roll out if we do an Apple Valley Middle than we could also roll it out pretty easily at North Henderson.
Okay.
And there is Rich Bowerman. He's our middle school compost champion. He does water quality monitoring with Mountain True.
Okay.
So he's a science teacher with, I think, 6th grade or 8th grade. But he's also passionate about this and wants this at his school. So.
Wasn't he at Canoga at the camp at one time when they were doing the solar panels and all that stuff? And I think they do some compost, a lot of composting out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they have pigs that compost. They have
just pretty
furry,
cool.
They have hairy, furry pigs.
Yeah.
Right?
I call them poodle pigs.
You mean that eat the compost? Eat the food?
Yeah, they eat the food scraps.
Yes.
You know, that used to be very common. That's what you did on the farm, but then they made it illegal. You couldn't sell the pork.
Because
they're worried about disease and all that kind of stuff. So it's good that they can do it again.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're strict on what they feed the pigs, too.
I remember feeding pigs my watermelon. You know, you eat the watermelon and give them the... they'd eat it up. They loved it.
Well, awesome. I guess, keep us posted on that.
Yeah.
And I think, as y'all expand, I'm sure EAC members and... I also think, if you're doing high schools, you might even have compost champions that are like student groups or student clubs.
Yeah.
that would be excited about that.
Yeah, a lot of schools have a club.
There are environmental clubs in the high schools, right?
Usually.
That would be that seems like that would be the end.
I mean, they have they have teachers that teach environmental science and earth science and things like that. So.
Okay.
Cool.
And
I don't know if they have clubs or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I do want to put together like an implementation plan to get all 23 schools composting.
Wow.
So, and how long that would take and what schools we would want to focus on. So, if y'all have any schools that you know of that are environmental champions or would want this, then pass my way and maybe I could add them like onto the list sooner. Because I think the ultimate goal is to sponsor composting for the schools, so the school would not have to pay for it themselves, which is great, because I think that's a reason why schools aren't currently composting, because of the expense.
Cool.
Should I move on?
I think so, yeah.
So I did want to just talk about the upcoming household hazardous waste. I brought some flyers, so please pass them along. And again, we'll be accepting liquid paint, so if you have paint that's already dry, that can just be thrown away in your regular garbage, because it's now municipal solid waste. But we do accept liquid paint and paint-related items at the transfer station for $2, and then chemicals, cleaners, and pesticides at the convenience center at no charge. So just wanted to let the committee know that the dates have been set. I'm thinking about dressing up in green March 17th, because St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
So when we collect the paint, like, make people laugh, but we'll see. But just want to bring this up to the group.
Can you send this out digitally so I can post it on Facebook?
Yeah. And should I move on to the next thing? So also just want to give a highlight that the internal sustainability committee, that is a group of employees, they wanted to do like a sustainability showdown. And we were originally going to do it in January, but that didn't really work out. I didn't get it completed until the holidays kind of were busy. So we're now looking at February, and we can do a, show the earth some love showdown. And employees can check in each Friday and check off what they've done, and they can be entered into a prize. Some of the prizes are those reusable storage wraps that are wax, reusable bamboo utensils, reusable straws, these dryer balls, so you don't have to use as much energy to dry your clothes. So I just thought it was something, cool that we could share with the group, that we're going to kind of hopefully do this every year. But again, this is something that's new, and hopefully the employees of Henderson County will like it and will want to do it again.
So where are we about a sustainability program for the county?
I'm still trying to get our utility tracker up to date.
Okay.
So Dominion Energy, when they bought out PSNC, they required a new login system, and our utility tracker, Dude Solutions, could not access those bills and automatically upload them. So this has been a 7-month process to try and get our utilities up to date. So
you're saying to establish the baseline?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So that's kind of holding me up, is trying to figure out where we are.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I guess the first step is the energy efficiency upgrades. And
yeah, I kind of just want to see how much energy we're using.
Yeah.
And then what buildings will we want to prioritize for upgrades or renewables like solar panels. Because I don't think any building, I don't think every building could probably have solar panels. First we need to get a list of buildings, see how old they are, and see which ones could use it. But
and this would be part of a bigger plan.
Mm-hmm.
This would be in the first year we're going to tackle these three buildings.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And I definitely still want to rely on the Employee Sustainability Committee to create the internal one.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we get that completed, then expand to the external.
Cool.
So I think that's what kind of has come up is, like, at first I was like, let's do both at the same time.
Right.
But it might be easier to track internal stuff first.
What about new construction? Anything like the new schools, the new things? Mm-hmm. There's no sustainability program or anything in place right now to...
Well, I guess there's the comprehensive plan. Is that, are buildings in that plan, the one that's coming up, or?
Not to that level of detail. The comp plan would probably maybe make a recommendation that that happens, mm-hmm. or that you put specific plan in place that then would address all those things, but it wouldn't be that specific.
Is there like a schedule of what, I guess maybe is that maintenance, project maintenance?
For doing what?
New buildings.
Oh, like capital projects.
Yeah, capital project improvements. Like, is there...
Is that related to the building code? Because I got a question sort of about that.
I don't think our capital projects necessarily related to the building code. It's more of just improvements or updates that we have to make to our existing facilities.
Right.
But most of your... That would be something that Jerry handles under facility services, whereas some of the other capital projects depends on how big the project it gets. If it swaps over out of our in-staff to being contracted out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So like the new high school city, in us county, I mean, are they planning to use solar panels in that?
In the new high school?
And or than any new schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the buildings.
I don't know if they are or not. That's part of all that. I guess that would be taken through during that bid process, kind of, I guess, the same thing you've been talking about with the low-impact design type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be a similar thing.
Okay.
Those things are a little bit easier to look at. The energy efficiency stuff of actually just during the building construction, that extra add-on, I don't know if they're doing anything like that.
Yeah. Okay. Because it just seems like if we had a sustainability program, that one aspect of it would be new construction, and that new buildings that are proposed would include things like solar panels and things like that. So,
related to that, I was wondering about how often the county updates their building code, in terms of energy efficiency and stuff. And I was particularly thinking about that when they, these proposals about new apartments and all. Apartments are typically built with poor insulation because the builders don't pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I was wondering.
And Lucy, before you leave, just want to capture this. So you're wondering about new projects and how they'll implement like renewables in that, or if they're even thinking about that?
Right.
Yeah.
If our county establishes a sustainability program, one would think it's not just retrofitting existing buildings,
right.
So that we want to look at all new construction and make sure that they are using as many renewables as possible.
That would be included in the plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing that kept coming up when we initially spoke to people like in Buckham County and other counties that had strategic plans was their regret that when they started getting all these savings from energy efficiency, that they had no mechanism for what they did with that saved money. Because a lot of counties, what they'll do is they'll say 25% of all savings from energy efficiency must be reinvested in other sustainability programs.
Oh, that's a good point.
And you only get one chance to do that.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And since we're late to the game, we should do that.
So,
yeah.
Have you found out if that's possible or what that would look like? That'd be a lot of money.
I wonder if that could be a recommendation from the EAC to the county commissioners.
Yeah,
that seems like a good recommendation.
Yeah, because it's a lot of money. I mean, even just talking about light bulbs, right?
It's
a lot of money. So even just taking 10% or something would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me know if that would be helpful, like a letter or something. I'll drop something.
And John, you're wondering how often does the county update their building code? Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that they really have the latest standards for energy efficiency and other aspects of environmental issues.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Because there's a lot of new construction coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of it right around the corner from you.
Yeah. Cool. Is there anything else?
I think so.
Any other announcements or other stuff? I guess we're going to be done early today.
Cool. We'll see y'all at the master plan meeting.
Okay.
February 18th. Woo!
So then you'll confirm the field trip date.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guess we are adjourning at.
What's your name?
4-6.
Oh, Autumn.
Yeah. And you're
planning director.
Yeah. Okay. I'm now senior.
She's one of the many high-level boards that can be asked.
Smart, you stay in the radar.